Please open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 53. We've been studying the fourth of the four servant songs in the book of Isaiah. We will not read the other three, but they are Isaiah 42, 1 through 4, Isaiah 49, 1 through 6, and Isaiah 54 through 7. This song actually begins back in chapter 52, so we'll begin there. But as we read through, I want you to consider three things about this psalm. In its progression, it really begins with the reception of Christ in chapter 53, how he was received, and then moves to his suffering or his redemption, and then finally to his reward or his triumphs. And we'll be preaching from the triumphs in this message. But let's read the whole servant song. Chapter 52, verse 13. Let's hear God's word. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. Just as many were astonished at you, so his visage or his face was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths at him, for what had not been told them, they shall see. And now let us read his reception. Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He has no form or comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. And now for his sufferings, or his redemption. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as the sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death. Because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, and now we'll read his triumphs or his reward. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and he made intercession for the transgressors. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you for all that we have just read. Lord, we praise you for the Son of God who has performed such great things for us. And Lord, obeying you and doing all of this. Lord, we ask you to guide us now in your word. You know exactly what we need. You know how we need to turn to the Lord Jesus with whole heart. We pray for everyone that is under the sound of this word, that they might be turning from their sins and coming to the Lord Jesus. And we ask you this for Jesus' sake. Amen. We've been considering lately the triumphs of Christ in our last two messages in this chapter. In verse 10, it says, "When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days." And then the phrase we'll be looking at today, "And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand." Everything in the world is going to fail. In fact, there's even rules in business that if it can fail, it will. And in the world, every hope, every prop they've ever conceived is going to fail. And all will know that at the judgment. But in Christ, as he says here, the promise, "And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand." Let's consider this in a number of questions. First of all, we'll ask the question, on what basis will the pleasure of the Lord prosper in his hand? And then secondly, what is the certainty that the Lord will prosper all things in his hand? And then finally, what is that pleasure of the Lord that will be accomplished? Well, first, on what basis will the pleasure of the Lord prosper in his hand? We've just read that. It's on the basis of the death of Christ. It's the foundation of all that God has done and will ever do. It's based upon his death. Paul said that he would glory in nothing save the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, and you can see why. His writings really flow out of this chapter. We could draw an analogy, if we will. If you look at Psalm 23, you have all that Christ did at the cross. That's like the Gospels. But then if you look at Isaiah 53, you look at all that came from that, and you have the epistles of Paul and the general epistles. And the whole New Testament flows out of what Christ did and is spoken of in this chapter. The pleasure of the Lord will prosper in his hand. And so that's the basis. His death, his suffering upon the cross, all that he prepared to do in keeping the law, and then suffering as a pure and holy Savior on the cross. Everything flows from that. And the promise is that it will prosper in his hand. And then we have, what is the certainty? Well, as we said, in this world, nothing is certain, but everything in Christ is certain. I refer you to a couple of verses, one in Job chapter 23, verse 13. It says, "He is of one mind, and who can turn him? What his soul desires, even that he does." Brother Tom referred to this earlier today in his preaching, that God is going to accomplish all of his purpose. Our God is in the heavens. He has done whatsoever he has pleased. And we can just quote those verses, but they're in the context of Christ having died for us and the certainty that everything that he does is going to prosper in his hand. And that's the basis of it. It's in the hand of Christ. You see that last part of that phrase there. It's in his hand. If we try to accomplish something in our hand, it will truly fail. Paul says we don't trust in our own flesh, but we trust in the living God and the Lord Jesus, because in his hand it'll prosper. Jesus said, "Without me you can do nothing." But he also said, "By me you can do all things." And so if we look at all of our lives, it is certain that it will prosper in Christ. Consider another verse. If you go to Matthew chapter 1, if you'll turn there. Chapter 1, we're going to see the very name of Christ speaks of his certainty in his work. Remember that Joseph had questions about Mary and had thought to put her away privately. And then he was spoken to by an angel that he should not do this. And in verse 21 it says, "And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." His very name is a promise. His name shall be called Jesus, that is, Jehovah saves, for he will save his people from their sins. There are those who have taught, and we know they'll know for certain that they taught the wrong thing, that Christ could have died on the cross and none would have been saved. I've actually read this with my own eyes. And someone who would say that was not looking at this verse carefully. He shall save his people from their sins. And it was we read in John chapter 3 that all that the Father gives me shall come to me. There's no question. There's not going to be any empty seats in heaven. Now, we're to go and preach the gospel to every creature, but God is going to fill every seat. He's going to bring everyone to Christ that he promised him. And all that his pleasure is going to prosper in his hand. It will be done. He's going to save us from our sins. I rest in this. I can't imagine a salvation that is uncertain. A salvation that rests in the will of man. I'm often asked, well, what about free will? Doesn't this take away the free will of man? Well, the free will of man was taken away in the garden, if you understand what happened. If you look at what the free will of man did to Adam, he began running away from God. He tried to hide from God, and nothing has changed. And so if you want to plead the free will of man, that free will always runs to sin. And so how does God deal with the will? Well, salvation is going to prosper in the hands of Christ. And let's look at that last question. What is that pleasure of the Lord that will be accomplished? In Psalm 35, if you'll look at that. Psalm 35. This should always be upon our lips according to the commandment of this psalm. Psalm 35:27 says, let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause. And let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. This is what he's going to cause to prosper, his servant. And we're always to say, the Lord be magnified. Say it again, the Lord be magnified. He is to be. You can't make God bigger than he is. He is infinite. But let him be magnified in the church. Let him be magnified in our hearts. Let him be seen as all glorious who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. And so that pleasure is that God would prosper his servant. And this is not monetarily. God provides for us our daily bread. He provides for us that which we need. He provides for us to be able to give. But the prosperity he's talking about is our prosperity in salvation, our prosperity in our conversion, in our justification, in our sanctification, in our glorification. Let's consider those things. How is he going to call all things to prosper in the hands of Christ in our conversion? Well, all the Father gives me shall come to me. When the gospel comes to you in power, you will be saved. It's the Lord Jesus who said, many are called, but few are chosen. And the general call of Christ went out to all of Israel, and many heard him. The common people heard him gladly. But those who were his sheep did come to him. All those that heard his voice in the inner man, spoken to by the Spirit of God, came forth, even as Lazarus came forth out of the grave. And we can be assured, as we are to preach the gospel to every creature, the Lord is going to save all of his elect. And I always encourage people, if you're worried about one of the elect, you come to Christ. You come to him. You don't worry about, you can't elect yourself, but you can come to Christ by grace, only by grace. And so we have these worries that if you believe in the sovereignty of God, somehow you're going to lose humanity. And we're not robots. We are to repent of our sins, and God gives grace to that. We are to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and he gives us grace for that. Jesus Christ will save all that the Father has given him. And his pleasure will be accomplished in our conversion and in our justification. Everyone that believes on the Lord Jesus Christ will be forgiven of all their sins. And they're going to be pronounced right, and they are pronounced righteous in Christ. This is certain. And this is not a justification that's going to occur in the last day, that the Lord will somehow review all of your works and say, well, he's done enough. She's done enough. I will justify them. On the very first day that you ever come to Christ, you are pronounced righteous in him. All of your sins are forgiven. We've sung it in these hymns, you know, that the salvation is all of the crimes I've committed, crimes more than I can even number, I can even remember, all the sins I've forgotten have been washed away in the blood of Christ. The sins I failed to confess, the Lord has forgiven me of those sins. All washed away in the blood of Christ. This is certain. It's not a possibility. I heard just yesterday that someone I care about believes that they can lose their salvation. That is no salvation. If you can lose your salvation, I believe you will. Because if you can lose your salvation, it's based upon what you can accomplish rather than what Christ already accomplished. And this verse promises over in Isaiah 53 that the pleasure of the Lord will prosper in his hand. He will justify you, and not only that, he will sanctify you. He is going to accomplish that work until the final day. We read in Romans chapter 8 that the Lord, and I'm going to read that without misquoting it. Romans chapter 8, he says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son." That is our sanctification. That he's going to conform us in this life. He's marked us out beforehand to make us just like the Lord Jesus. He goes on to say that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. And in that passage, he is going to make us just like his Son. And before I was converted, I never prayed a prayer, "Lord, make me just like Jesus." I had all these desires that I tried to fulfill, and thank the Lord he didn't let me accomplish many of them. But when I was converted, and when you were converted, you began saying, "Lord, make me just like your Son. Help me to walk just like him. Help me to think like the Lord Jesus and respond to you as he did." And this is exactly what God is going to accomplish and is accomplishing in us. And yes, does he have a lot of work to do yet to come? He does. We are not yet like Christ. But in that day, and this comes to our glorification, we are going to be made just like the Lord Jesus. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, the trumpet will sound, and the dead in Christ are going to be, we're going to be raised incorruptible. This corruptible must put on incorruption, and it will. Changed in a moment. It tells us in 1 John that when we see him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And this is our hope. This is certain. It's going to prosper in the hands of Christ. Since we're here, we can say it was certain we would be here. The Lord purposed that we would be here. We might have prayed, "Lord, get me to church," and he did. But more than that, in all the uncertainties of life, it is certain that all that trust in Christ are going to be in his presence forever. It's going to prosper in the hands of Christ, fulfilled. You see, this phrase covers all of time and eternity. Creation prospered in his hand. He created all things by Christ. Salvation's prospering in his hands. He's going to save all of his people from their sins. And he's going to make them just like himself. And forever and ever, we'll still be prospering in his hand, by his work. And I hope that you are drawn to Jesus Christ today. I know every saint's heart is drawn out after him. Temptation's dragging us one way, the world's dragging us another, but the Lord continues to draw us to himself. And every person here today, from the youngest to the oldest, who has not yet come to Christ, this is the day to come to him. Never linger. If you've heard the gospel that he is raised again from the dead, you've heard that Christ is the Savior, he is your Savior. There's no other place to go. And every sin you've ever committed was laid upon him. Come to him. Today we're going to partake of the Lord's Supper. We're going to remember his death until he comes. One more time, the Lord has given us this privilege, this means of grace, this blessing. And I hope that you are thinking upon him and knowing for certainty that he is going to help you through this week, to help you through this life, because you're looking to him and trusting in him.